Praise the Lord. So glad that you joined us tonight at Oasis Christian Center Wednesday night service. I'm Pastor Sharon and this is Pastor Rock. And we just invite you to join in for what God has for you today, because I know he's got something special just for you. And we're having Wanda Phillips minister the word. And I know that God will use her tonight in a great way. And so just be ready for what God has for you. Amen. He's an awesome God, and he is moving, and he's doing awesome things. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has something just for you tonight. I'm excited tonight about what God is about to do. Amen. Let's say just thank you, Wanda, for coming tonight. Amen. Ministering the word.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and the house of the Lord can be in your home as well, because wherever you are, the Lord is. If you're in your home right now, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's start by praying. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for who you are. You are our God, you are our Father, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus. And right now, Father God, I bind every scheme, every attack, and every assignment that the enemy has sent to come against us right now. And I loose your peace, I loose your harmony. Hallelujah, Father God, and we just thank you right now. Devil, I'm just here to serve you notice. You have no place. You have no place here this evening. You have no place at all. This is the house of the Lord, and we just thank you, Father God. And we just thank you, all of you, Father, and none of me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, the title of my message this evening is Honoring God with Your Finances. So don't everybody turn it off or run away, okay? It's not that type of message, but honoring God with your finances. And I just want to start off by saying, number one, as Christians, honoring God with our finances, our Father with our finances, is Christianity 101. It's the basics. It's the standard. It's Christianity 101. My base scripture I'm using tonight is Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The Message version says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who would keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. Don't give God what's left. The government takes what they want off the top before you even see it. They don't ask. God is asking. He's asking us for that 10%. Don't give God what's left once you pay everybody else. Give him first. And let's break this down a little bit. But first, let me just make something very clear. God does not need your money. Amen. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. This is a thing about obedience, and it's about a heart thing. And the word honor means respect, treat, dignify, make good, value, and bestow. If we replace honor with these words, it provides some revelation to it of that scripture. When we return our tithes and our offerings, it's an act of obedience. It is truly a heart thing. And we're telling God, Father, I trust you. I trust you. And that's an action. When we return our tithes and our offerings, that's showing action. And in James 2:17, it states, faith without works is dead. The Amplified Version states it like this. So too, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, it's by itself dead, inoperative, and ineffective. Such as if you ask someone, hey, I need you to go to the store for me or what have you. And they say, okay, I'll do it, but they never do it. They've said something, but their actions was never put to work. What they said, they never put it to work. You ask your children to get up to wash the dishes, they say, okay, and it never gets done. You wake up the next morning, the dishes are still in the sink. They said they would do it, but they didn't put actions to their word. So putting actions to our word, when we're going to return our tithes and our offerings to God, it's an action. It shows God, I trust you. I love you, and I want to be obedient to what you've asked me to do. And he's not pushy. If you feel pressured or pushed, that's not God. He is a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He don't push at all. That's what the enemy does. He doesn't condemn us. That's the enemy. So know the difference. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Message version reads, it's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you most want to be and end up being. So we need to check ourselves. We need to check our heart and check to see where our heart is truly planted. Are we seeing more of our finances going to our favorite department store, our favorite restaurant? We may be honoring these places instead of honoring our God with our finances through our local church in tithes and offerings. Yeah. Because the church building still has to operate. The lights still have to be on. Amen. You want air in the summer and you want heat in the winter and you want some running water. Amen. The church still has to be financed. And tithes and offerings, they do that. Yes. They've helped finance the church and therefore it's helping the community. So it's not about, oh, the church just want my money. Oh, that pastor just want my money. Ah, pastor, he'll tell you in a heartbeat. He don't need it because if God ordains it, he'll maintain it.
Yes.
So they don't have to just rely on that, on man per se. Amen. If God ordained it, he will maintain it. So we have to remember that. But we need to see where our heart is truly planted. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 states, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And the Message version reads, if you start thinking to yourselves, I did all of this all by myself. I'm rich and it's all mine. Well, think again. Remember that God, your God, gave you the strength to produce all this wealth so as to confirm the covenant that he promised to your ancestors as it is today. We have to remember, God is our source. Our jobs, careers, etc., that is a resource. There is a difference. The definition of source is a place, person, or thing from which something comes or can be obtained. The definition of resource is a stock or supply of money, materials, staff, and other assets that can be drawn on by a person or an organization in order to function effectively. We draw from our source, which is God, through the resources, which is our jobs and careers. God is our source, and we have to remember that. He's given us the strength to get the wealth. He's given us the strength to do our jobs. He's given us the strength to, if you've attended college, to go to college and obtain that degree. It's God. It's God showing you favor with man. It's God. And we have to remember that he's our source. Honoring God with the resources he has blessed us is an outward sign of our gratitude and our thankfulness. God wants us to have the wealth, but we must acknowledge it was him and not us. We can't do anything on our own. It's all God. If we try to, it may be okay for a minute, but it will soon fail because it wasn't built on a solid ground, which is the word of God and God himself. We must use the wealth to return our tithes to God, to help our churches, and in return, helping our communities. A strong relationship with God produces strong families. That produces strong communities. That produces strong churches. And the list goes on and on, but it starts with the source. And the source is our Father, and this pleases our Father. And we need to honor Him with our finances. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God knows we need things. He's very much aware of our needs as well as our wants. He know at times it is, I know it's easier said than done at times. We are human. But we should not worry about these things and be overly concerned. We can be concerned about stuff that's happening, stuff that's going on, like as of right now. But don't step into that state of worry, where you then that leads to a state of depression. It's okay to be concerned, but do not be overly concerned. Do not worry. Do not fret. Do not fear. So it won't lead to that state of depression. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As he states in the scripture, if we have been a tither or a giver, he's going to take care of us. He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. We don't have room enough to receive it. And he will rebuke the devourer. That's what it states in Malachi. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that. Honoring God with our finances, it shows him we are trusting him with the 10%. His word says he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. So we should trust him to take care of our needs when we honor him with our finances. If you don't put anything in and when you need something, you have nothing to draw from. You have just, if you have money in the bank, if you have a zero balance and you got to pay a bill, you can't pay that bill because you don't have any money in the bank. But we have to honor God with our finances. We have something to draw from. So when those hard times come, you say, okay, Lord, now you know I'm a tither and I'm a giver. And you see right now I have this need and this is a real need that I have. And he is a good God. I know this for myself. He is a good God and he will supply all of our needs. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That was the NIV version. Here's the Message version. But if it's only money these leaders are after, they are self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith and completely and live to regret it bitterly ever after. Because then you start chasing money instead of running after God. First of all, many Christians have misquoted this scripture to support their poverty mindset by saying money is the root of evil. That's not what the scripture says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And people have used that, taking out the word love, just to support some of their poverty mindsets. And it's Christians that mostly have done it. And then some worldly people have used that in that form as well. And that means you would do whatever it takes to obtain the money. You are allowing the money to control you instead of you controlling the money. Yes. We need to obtain a right perspective about our finances, a right attitude. We should not allow money to get us to a point in our lives where we are serving it and honoring it. Always trying to get more money. Always about the Benjamins. No, it's not. Always trying. It is nothing wrong with obtaining wealth, but the money is there to serve God. As I've stated before, through our local church, you are tied to and to serve you and to serve our communities. You're not meant to serve money. We are not meant to serve money. During this time we are currently in, we have seen so many people with a heart to give at so many different levels. But times like this shouldn't be the only time we want to help others. You know, it really should not be. It should be a lifestyle to help others out of our abundance, whatever we can do. And it may not necessarily be money to help others. You may be a good cook, which I am not. You may be a good cook and you can supply meals to people, a good baker like Miss Betty, and you can bake some brownies or some cakes or what have you. You can be a good cook and you can do that, you know, and make those type of things to support people. This honors God because we are using the resources that He's provided to us to help His creation, to help His children. Glory to God. Don't get so caught up in yourself because it's not about you. It's not about me. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Message version states, "You cannot worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You cannot worship God and money both." If we try to serve two masters, y'all, one of them will get the short end of the stick. You cannot chase money and chase God at the same time. It's only one of you. You can't do it. Where's your heart? Like I said, this is truly a heart thing. Honoring God with your finances is truly a heart thing. You know, and again, as I was reading Matthew 6:33, he says, "But first and importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be added unto you." God is not trying to withhold anything from us. He wants us to have the highest and the best. And He's the perfect one to give us the highest and the best, because He knows what's the highest and the best for each one of us. He knows that. He's not trying to withhold anything from us. He's not trying to take our money. And it's not even ours to begin with. He's the source. It started with Him. He's just have blessed us to have some of the talents that we have, to have the careers that we have, the jobs that we have, in order to obtain the resources of money and buying all these other things. Even our home could be a place to honor God, honoring God with your finances, honoring God with your home. Glory to God. A lot of people are doing, you know, a lot of meetings online in their homes, hosting different things. That's honoring God. God is pleased with that. He is so pleased with that. He knows we need money to survive in this life, to buy the things that we need and that we want. But we should chase after God and the money will come. He will supply it. Truly, He will. Being financially responsible is also a part of honoring God. We should honor God with our finances by being a good steward over our finances, the 90% that's left after the tithes. A biblical view of stewardship can be defined as utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and for the betterment of His creation. So that 90%, like in the times that we're in right now, used to help others. Used to help others. You know, and Jesse and I was talking the other day, and we're so blessed that we can go to the refrigerator, as many of you are as well. We can go to the refrigerator and there's food there. You know, we have air when we need the air. We have the money to pay our bills and what have you. And that's God. And I thank God for that. But there are some people out there who are struggling. But I'm here to tell those right now, and if you're listening, God's got you. He has not forgotten about you. Remind God, and He tells us to bring it back to His remembrance. Tell Him, tell God, "Lord, I have been a tither." Bring it back to Him. He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Yeah. So if you are a tither, if you are a giver, go boldly to the throne of grace. And you tell your Father God, "Father, I am a tither. I am a giver. This is what I've done." Show Him your checkbook. "This is what I've given to the church. I need some help. This is what I need." And watch how God show up and show out. He's a good, but you've got to have that faith as well that he will do what he said he will do. Faith activates it. Faith opens the door. But we at the same, we've got to honor God with our finances. We have to honor him. Pastor Creflo Dollar made this statement. Realizing that money is just a tool help us change our mindset about it. Letting go in this area causes supernatural abundance that only comes from God. And we need to realize that. It only comes from God. We need to honor God with our finances. And in the beginning, I started talking about standards. I made the statement about standards that honoring God with our finances is Christianity 101. It's a standard. We as Christians at times live below the standard that God has set for us in different areas, including the areas of finance. But we still expect the blessings of God, but we're not living up to the standards of God. We're living below those standards intentionally or sometimes unintentionally out of ignorance. But then that's when you study to show yourself approved. Get to the word and your word yourself. Don't believe what somebody else say. Get out your Bible. Get out your phone and pull up the word and read it for yourself. And if you don't understand it, ask the Holy Spirit for some revelation because you will get revelation. He may lead you to a book. And Pastor Rock has talked to several times that he needed something, some revelation on something, and a book he hadn't probably touched in years. God will lead him to a book, open it up, and bam, there it is, revelation. So ask God for revelation if you don't quite understand something. So if you don't understand the tithing of what I'm talking about, it's in the Bible. Read it. Understand. There's a lot of resources online that you can go to. Here at Oasis, we have resources as well. Just read, study to show yourself approved. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. The tithe is 10%. It's not 9, 8, 7, 6, or 5. The tithe is 10%. Anything other than 10% that you give, if you give 5%, that's just an offering. 10% is the tithing. Tithe means 10%, and we need to understand that as well. Let's not honor God based on off a standard shown to us by the world or even sometimes by the standard that our families have shown us in the past. You know, our families and parents may have provided or shown some awesome standards, but is it below the standard that God has set? God is the standard. We need to level up. We got to level up to the standard of God in all areas of our life. And finances is just one of those. But we need to level up to the standard of God. And like I said, honoring God with our finances, it impacts our lives in so many areas. This message is not to condemn anyone, but just to encourage people. And even myself, as I was studying for this and writing this, like, okay, what can I do? What can I give more? What can I do more? You know, and especially in these times right now as well, helping my fellow man. What can we do more to help those that may not have everything, be a blessing to them? Because we are blessed to be a blessing. That's in the Word of God. We are blessed to help someone else. That's why, you know, your cup runneth over, running over, so you can bless somebody else. And we just thank God for that and just thank him for allowing us, giving us the opportunity where we can return our tithes for him, where he's blessed us with these awesome opportunities or these resources so we can return our tithes to him to help support our local churches, to help support our community. So in the end of this, I hope everyone has received at least one nugget, at least one thing from the message that I truly believe that God gave to me to present to everyone tonight. And everyone, y'all have a blessed evening, and I hope all is well.
Praise the Lord. Wow, that was awesome. Thank you so much for that word, Wanda. And that is so true. You know, I like the windows of heaven to be open. I don't want to close those windows up. I want them wide open. And I know that God will supply every need. He always has. He's never failed me. He's never let me down. He's always taken care of every need that I've ever had. And I know that he'll do that for you too. He is a good God, and he'll do it for all of us. Amen.